We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
11.05 a.m. on your Saturday morning, live from the WEEI Ford Clubhouse studio. Here is what's trending now. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 6-4 last night at Fenway. E-Rod allowed two runs on three hits with no walks and eight Ks. They got a good start. Went 6 2/3 innings. JBJ had a couple of good catches, and the Sox held off the O's late. They look to make it three in a row today, this afternoon at Fenway Park. You can hear game two of the four-game series against the O's right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox radio network. Ken Laird has the pregame at 12:05.
And that's not a mistake. That's for real.
And he's been doing it. He's been the weekend guy for a bit now.
That's
Mark,
it. By
Mark
the
with
way,
the C. James.
He's all grown up, man. Ken Laird wears many hats.
He's a do-it-all type of guy.
He really is. Yeah. He's a Swiss Army knife. There's no doubt.
And then he gives way to Joe Kostick, Lou Merlone. Nope, just Joe Kostick and Sean McDonough today at 1:05. So if you enjoyed the Sean McDonough experience, more coming up. The Bruins, well, they're down 1-0. Game two is tonight at the Garden. Puck drop at 8 o'clock. Celtics host the Pacers tomorrow for game one of
Better
their...
Better not lose that series.
The game one of their
Better
first
not
round.
Lose that series.
Yeah, they're both losing. 3 hours plus was the length of time in a Florida hearing that led to no ruling from the judge overseeing the Orchids of Asia case regarding whether the alleged craft video will be released. Both sides have to file proposed orders by next Tuesday.
We'll have to get into next two. The biggest thing for Kraft, making sure that tape never gets out.
Kraft it out. The Pats extended Patrick Chung through 2021. Masters leaderboard is brought to you by Lake of Isles at Foxwoods through two rounds. There's a five-way tie at the top at 7-under. Tiger Woods is one back at 6-under and tees off at 2:05. Weather brought to you by Reed's Ferry Shed, 62 degrees. Kind of gray and rainy, a little bit of light rain showers expected to subside before first pitch with sun later in the afternoon, high in the low 70s. This hour, Drellick and James brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors. That's what's trending now on WEEI.
It's time for Mark James.
You imbecile!
This is what makes me
Evan Drake.
This is what I am.
Pitchers throw the ball.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James.
Live from Tampa, Florida, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James on CBS Sports Radio.
Joining us right now, live from Utah, he's the pride of Charlotte.
He's a dink.
He's the pride of the Bay Area, the face of the NBA here in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steph?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
I know I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
I was working. My thanks to Mark James.
Pathetic.
Who came in here the last couple of days, did a bang-up job. Well done.
I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career.
Barbados Belichick.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser.
Ordinary Hayward.
I'm the pride of Western Mass. I'm the best thing to come out of Western Mass. It's Uma Thurman and Travis Best.
Garbage Hayward.
And he's been passed around more times than a rental car.
Phony Michelle.
It's tough to be humble when you're great.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
What an open. I got to thank, because the original part of that was Eamon Convey and John Anderson added some things in there. Evan Drake. You got to love the Drake thing. What was your reaction when...
I just let it
you
ride.
You just let it go.
That's what you're trained to do. You just roll with it.
And then
I wasn't going to make it a thing, because that was like a joint broadcast. That was NBC Sports Boston. You know, if it was like Gary Tanguay who had done it I was still with...
Right.
Then maybe, and by the way, Tanguay got my name wrong. I'd say between Tanguay and Felger, no one ever got my name right. It took a very long time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it took a long time.
Do they think
time.
It's like spelled D-R-E-I-I-I-C-H?
Is that a confusion you've had, John Anderson?
No, but you've got it easy. Clearly that's the issue here.
I don't know. People usually just think it's Drelich. It's Drelich.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm here with Evan Dreich.
Susan Tran does a great job for NBC.
She does.
Does a great job.
Amazing job. Amazing job. I actually like the fact that she butchered your name more than if she'd gotten it right.
It's clearly done well for both her and me.
Right. Yes.
Look how far you've come. You've gone from Jim Rome.
Right.
To a rainy Saturday afternoon.
Where phone calls.
Ford Clubhouse Studio.
Yeah. Where phone calls don't even work. Exactly. But John Anderson, perhaps a glutton of punishment, wants us to give out the number again and still try that maybe we can get this to work. So I will give the number out again, even though I highly doubt it. If I was at Twin River Casino right now, I'm betting.
You'd already lost your pants.
Well, not that, not just that, but I'm betting against the phone calls working right now.
We'll get to your phone calls. We'll continue to talk about the Celtics.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Feel free to call. It probably won't work. It hasn't worked for 2 hours.
But think about it. If you do call and it does work, you're going to be part of some radio history right here.
You will be.
This is kind of there's a buildup here to this phone call when it does work.
Yes.
You want to be the first. You want to be the first at 617-779-7937.
Right. Because I've done shows from here before. You've done plenty of shows from this, the WEI Ford Clubhouse Studio.
The old home of Bradford and Drelich when that was still
allowed. That's right. I know. We got mousetraps here set up. I mean, what more could you want? But we'll give the phone number out for you at 617-779-7937. But it's a huge weekend in Boston sports. You know, we've got the Bruins tonight at TD Garden looking to even up things against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They did not look good the other night. They just didn't look prepared. And that's what bothers me. It's like, okay, there's no shame in losing to a team that's got Austin Matthews, Marner,
Tavares. How do you judge preparation? Is it energy or is it preparation?
I think it was a combination of both the other night. For some reason, they just looked off. Charlie McAvoy looked like I didn't even remember him the other night. I didn't remember seeing him play the other night. It's like, I don't remember 73. Did you play? Were you back at BU the other night? I want to go after I leave here to Raising Cane's, which is on the BU campus, which I can't get enough of this
Can
place.
Can McAvoy walk around town and avoid being recognized because he looks so young?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. He can definitely avoid being
recognized. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy who
no doubt.
I think can, more than a lot of the athletes here, exist a little bit incognito.
Yeah.
Because he looks like any other BU bro.
He does. He does, doesn't he? He looks like
totally.
A BU bro. You're right. He really does.
He's got pinchable cheeks, and he's just...
Right.
Just,
yeah.
He's a kid.
Yeah, he does. He kind of has that. He does have that. That's a good point by you, Drew. Very good. Not bad for the first 2 hours
and 13
minutes.
This is what happens when you get an outsider. You get different looks. Different perspectives.
He does. Like, he's not a recognizable... Listen, when it comes to, you know, athletes being recognized in this city, obviously, Brady, Gronk, Edelman.
Betts gets it. I know Betts gets it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And you know this and I know this. And I've said this before. Oh, by the way, we haven't put this in the trending, but this should be in there as well. As Patrick Ewing will be representing the Knicks at the draft lottery in a month in the hopes that they get Zion Williamson. I've said this before, Drolk. I'll say it again. I don't think Mookie Betts would be really recognized in Times Square. I'm just telling you. I don't think a lot of people would recognize Mookie Betts.
Well, you got to remember, Times Square.
I know.
Is not exactly the heart and soul of, let's go to Union Square. Union Square. That's where New Yorkers are more likely to congregate. Times Square is just a bunch of tourists. So these are people who, have no ties to New York sports, don't live there. They're just there for whatever because they see it in the movies. So if you're in a regular, your Grand Central Station, you got a commuter, I think Mookie Betts is
by the way,
right. Because they're Yankees fans.
I took the Metro into Grand Central last week.
So there you go.
So my phobia is when
regular New Yorker Mark James.
So my phobia is when I get off
No, you're gonna make me angry with this. You're gonna give me a stereotype of New York
No. I look down at the tracks just to see if I see them. You don't usually see them like at Grand Central. If you take the subway though, any subways, you look down the tracks, you'll see them.
We call that the T around here.
Well, that too. You can see them here too. I mean, listen, Boston and New York, they're old cities. You're going to have rats. I mean, like, let's face it. You've worked in corporate America. I work in corporate America. There are rats in corporate America. There are rats in corporate America. Oh, I mean, man. It is what it is. They're just what we used to call when we were in school, tattletales.
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that a lot of the problems we see in the world are born out of the mentality that you can never discuss publicly wrongdoing you see around you. And that's why I get really annoyed and pissed off. I shouldn't say use that word.
Well,
I get ticked off.
Yep.
By the clubhouse, you know, Ron Darling saying,
"Yeah, he's
I am on. You know, I feel bad that my teammates were." He's talking about guys 30 years later. So if Ron Darling stands by what he said about Lenny Dykstra, that Lenny Dykstra before Game 3, the '86 World Series,
which by I don't think is true because Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden got his back.
You don't think it's possible that Dykstra could have been in the on-deck circle saying awful things that people just don't remember?
That, I mean, in 1986, sure.
Right, exactly. Like, it's totally possible.
But Ron Darling is not
somebody I look at and go, that guy's going to make it up.
But let me just say this, too. Then it's something also that Dykstra probably would have done other times, which Strawberry and Gooden said he never did, that we were with this guy. We were in the minors with him. We never saw him. If we did it, we would have taken care of him. So I'm going to go with Strawberry and Gooden on this one.
Maybe it was a one-off bad night. I mean, it's beyond the pale. It's beyond
now, Oil Cam Boyd said he didn't hear it either, but he did say he believed Darling.
I pulled this up. Unemployed reporter Evan, because I wrote a book about the Red Sox.
You're not unemployed. You're working at EI.
I'm part-time WEI.
So whatever. You're not unemployed.
I wrote a book called The Big 50. Please go buy it.
Yeah, I saw the. I saw one time on the Mutt and Callahan account, or it might have been a Kirk and Callahan at the time, showed your audience when you were doing book signing. There was not really the younger demographic. Were there?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is similar to our listenership. And I read a good portion of Oil Cam's book, memoir, whatever you want to call it.
Oil Cam Boyd had a book?
Yeah, written with Mike Shalen. You know Shales?
Yeah,
Shales, a legend Shales around the Red Sox box. And there is a part in the book that he describes the buildup going into Game 3 of the World Series, which is the night in question, the night of Dykstra allegedly yelling terrible things. He was having big family problems. Family didn't get along with my stepmom or whatever. We don't need to air out everything, but a lot of family problems. Next paragraph begins. Plus, I had stayed up all night smoking cocaine, so I was double upset and irritable.
And by the way, you didn't say snorting; you said smoking.
That I didn't say it. This is Oil Cam's words.
Right.
Through Mike Shalen and.
By the way, I'm just curious.
Like, so he was having a really. He says that messed me up. I started off the game upset, then I got madder than hell after the first inning when the Mets scored 4 runs. That Lenny Dykstra kind of caught me off guard. He's not talking about anything. He's talking
about because he hit a leadoff home run.
Plate. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
If you stayed up all night smoking cocaine, as Oil Cam Boyd said he did, and then went to the airport to go deal with family issues and you were already in a terrible mood, I think it's entirely plausible that while warming up, you might not have heard what it is that Dykstra said, allegedly, according to Ron Darling.
Here's my thing on that. Listen, why would, to me, this is like also, like, we all know where Lenny Dykstra is on the, like, in his lot in life right now. Now, he does do.
Oh, poor Dykstra. He didn't bring it on himself.
No, he didn't. We all know that he does frequent appearances on the Howard Stern Show, which is good for him, but he's not exactly where he should be in life, and he's lost his family, and they walk. I mean, listen, it's self-inflicted, there's no doubt. Lenny Dykstra is his own worst enemy.
Read the book then, man. Read the book.
But
that was when Minahan had him on and hung up on him.
I know.
The listeners might have forgotten.
By the way, I had Dykstra on the Jim Rome Show back in the 4th of July 2016. He called Davey Johnson the most overrated manager in baseball history.
Wow.
And he also
said, why would you dig up that kind of dirt 30 years later?
He also said that he vouched for Strawberry's manhood. And I'll leave it at that. There is that. All right, we're going to try the phones. Let's go to Owen in Boston. Let's see if this works. Can it work? Owen in Boston.
Evan, the stuff you're smearing Dykstra.
Yeah! It works! Yes! It only took 2 hours and 20 minutes. Owen, you can rag on Drellick all you want.
Give it to me, baby.
Just give it to him, Owen, because the phone lines work now. Yay! Go ahead, Owen.
So first of all, you said that if he'd done it, he'd probably done it before. And then
I think James said that.
No.
Let me finish. Okay. When we pointed out that Straw and Gooden said they'd never done it before, he'd never done it before. You said it might have been a one-time thing. Then you used the fact that Oil Can, whom I adore, was using drugs the night before to say that maybe he didn't hear Dykstra. You have correct. No proof, no evidence, none whatsoever, and you're smearing this guy's name.
I agree.
Whoa. How can anybody have proof
give,
of this?
Give it to him, Owen. Give it to him, Owen.
People, no. This is one of the idiotic arguments.
No, Drell, let him talk. Go ahead, Owen. Give it to him.
Dykstra's a moron, but to say to use Darling, citing something from 30 years ago that nobody has corroborated, to smear this guy's name, to call him a racist, I mean...
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, yeah, I don't know. By the way,
Owen, you are the voice. Not only are we glad we can hear you, but, like, great phone call. Like, I love this. Like, Evan,
could anything 30 years ago be corroborated? What are the chances you're able to really...
But you're sounding like you believe Ron Darling.
Why would Darling make this up?
Okay.
Why?
Okay, let me ask you this. Why would Adam Jones make up the thing from 2 years ago? I don't think he did either.
Adam Jones, I believe.
I do believe Adam Jones.
So maybe Owen actually has a head on his shoulders. That's good.
It has some legit stuff there. But Darling, with no corroboration from 30 years ago, with guys like Straw and Gooden coming out and saying, no, it's not true.
Owen, are there things in this world you've seen that no one else could corroborate but you know you heard or saw?
Sure.
All right. So why is this so hard to believe?
Well, Owen, let me ask you this. I'll be the first to...
Would I like proof? Yes.
Over the last few...
Of course I would.
I'll tell you, I got a chance to know over the last few years when he was releasing his book. I got a chance to talk to know Lenny a little bit. We have a common friend in LA.
Are you very good friends as with Steph Curry?
No. I'm friends with Steph Curry. I'm not friends with Lenny Dykstra. But the one thing I will say, Owen, is there... Like, the one thing I will admit in this whole thing is that I don't think Dykstra is a racist. Do I believe there is a... slim possibility that what Darling's saying is true? Yeah, you don't have to be a racist to say maybe he was just trying to get an Oil Can Boyd's head and he was uttering racial slurs at him. I just don't believe Dykstra did it because, like you said, nobody can corroborate this at all.
Right.
That's it. So,
right.
Do I believe it could have happened? Sure.
Sure.
But, you know.
Darling, obviously, it would appear... was bringing this to light now because he felt bad that he had never said anything or spoke up sooner. I mean, if the rule that we're going to draw on the sand is you can't talk about anything 30 years ago unless you have video proof, then guess what? We're never revisiting any topics ever.
Here's where I lost respect for Darling. I think he did it because he knew he could, because Dykstra right now is at the lowest point of his life.
Does Ron Darling seem like that kind of person who's just going to step on somebody else's shoulder?
But
Darling's got it. He's a Yale graduate. He's a Mets broadcaster. He doesn't need more fame or money. He's fine.
By the way, Keith Hernandez, his partner in the booth, along with Gary Cohen, who also arguably, along with D.O.B., Remy, and Eck, arguably the best broadcast team in baseball.
I miss Gary Cohen on the radio.
Yeah, Keith Hernandez could not at all confirm that as well.
But again,
you're
milling around in a dugout before a game. Nobody's necessarily focused in on what the guy in the on-deck circle is yelling.
I mean, okay.
It's totally understandable how this could have gone down where people 30 years later don't remember. Do I want proof? Of course I do. I'm a reporter. I like proof. But you also have to sit there and go, what are the incentives?
So you're putting it all... And listen, I know Ron Darling's background. I know he went to Yale and he was the antithesis of most of those Mets. He did not go out and party. He did not go and do this, even though there was a thing...
Yale guys never go out and party, George Bush.
Did you hear Lenny Dykstra's story, though? He's saying that Darling's trying to get him back. Lenny Dykstra went on Howard Stern last week and said because one night Ron Darling had this flight attendant, I quote, they called them stewardesses back then. I guess that you can't call anymore, but a stewardess was knocking on Ron Darling's door. This is according to Lenny Dykstra, and kept knocking and knocking. So Dykstra opened the door and said, "Hey, you looking for Ron?" She said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, he left with another girl, but you want to come in here?" And Dykstra spent the next week with her. So apparently, Darling's still sour at him for that. So there's that. 617-779. Those 86. They've got to make... You talk about a biopic. They did one on Motley Crue. They got to do one on the 86 Mets. Mike in North Providence. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, this is regards to the Celts. I think they have more than enough talent to make a deep run. The thing is it's about deploying the talent the right way. Like, for example, if you just go back and look at the 2008 championship team, and the 2010 championship team is almost identical in this respect. You had Garnett taking 17 shots a game, Pierce 14, Ray Allen 12, Rondo 10, and then next stop is Sam Cassell at 5. The only people taking double-digit shots are the big three and Rondo. And I want you to think about, like I just said, Ray Allen's taken 12. And think about Marcus Morris out there chucking up all these shots.
No, we can't have that. By the way, Mike, here's another thing, too. When everyone talks about how deep the Celtics bench is in the rotation, guess what? You don't need a deep rotation in the playoffs. You have to shorten your bench to about 7 guys.
That's exactly where I was going to. I mean, to me, like guys like Brown and Tatum, you put them on the 36-minute plan. You stretch it out. You ride your best players. I mean, Gordon might not be able to handle 36, like 30, but the idea is it's you want your best players out there as much as possible. You want to lean on them as much as possible. And the other guys just fill in the blanks around them. They take up the slack. It's the realization that your reserves are there simply to give your best players a spell on the bench.
Mike, prediction.
Them out there.
I've got the Celtics going to the Eastern Conference Finals, losing to Toronto. What do you have them doing?
Well, this is the whole thing. If Brad does the right thing, they can get to the NBA Finals, and then whatever happens, happens. If he goes and he continues, if you see Marcus Morris jacking up a lot of shots, if he keeps on, if you see like, oh, I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier in the backcourt over like Jaylen Brown or something like that,
right,
then they're going to lose early because you have to play. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. You have to use it the right way.
Yep. Good phone call, Mike.
I guess it's no longer in Brad. This has been an interesting season for the erosion of kind of the blind belief or just kind of total credit and blank check that had been given to Celtics management. This is the first time I can remember since I moved back to Boston where you have the higher-ups in the Celtics, Stevens, Ainge, whoever, a little bit in the crosshairs where people are going, you know what? Even the green teamers are starting to doubt a little bit of what they're doing.
But this guy gets a pass, and it's amazing is that John Farrell comes in his first season here. He wins a World Series. The next 2 years, he finishes in the basement. But, like, he at least won a ring. Brad Stevens is just a guy. He's John Farrell without a ring. And people give him passes here.
Let's not say things we can't take back. I mean, that's
no. What I'm saying, why does he get the pass that we didn't give to Farrell? We held Farrell accountable.
Yeah, I think that goes back to I'll give Rob Bradford credit for a decent
Bradfo. Well, why? Why would you give him credit?
He likes those bigger picture conversations about the difference in fans. Celtics fans seem a tiny bit more positive generally than the Red Sox.
Well, they do, but here's the problem too with some Celtics fans. They drink that green Kool-Aid. They have that they can't put down their green and white pom-poms. Like I believe the Celtics right now, if you ask most Celtics fans,
I'm not going to bring up the ad campaign on my former network trying to establish that the broadcasts are critical and McDonough-like.
Well,
I'm not going to bring that up.
No.
I don't want to be that petty.
The one thing I will say about the Celtics is this, that if you ask a lot of Celtics fans right now, if we went out in the streets right now, like across the street, we are from the House of Blues. We are at the WEI 4 Clubhouse Studio.
You can
here
walk
at
right
Park.
By us. You can wave to us.
You can wave to us. You can do whatever you want. But I bet you most Celtics fans out there, they probably think they'll sweep Golden State in 4.
No, they're not that stupid.
All right. Fair enough. I'm telling you.
They're
like,
blinded by Larry Bird in the 80s. They're not blinded by this team's. There's too much that's gone on this year everybody to be like, I don't get that at all from Celtics fans. I don't get the feeling people are like, this is a shoe-in at all.
This is a big postseason for Brad Stevens here in Boston.
Why is Ainge not in this discussion?
Because Ainge has put him in a position to succeed.
Or did he do a bad job understanding how Kyrie Irving would meld with these younger guys? Did he do a bad job of understanding when you build out a roster this deep, when everybody loved the depth? All you homers were sitting there smoking the... Oh, there's so much talent, great depth in the regular season. Somebody should have thought of, well, how do these pieces fit together? So was there a misjudgment in character? Was there a lack of understanding?
No, because
scouting?
Was there a problem last year? No. Yeah, it wasn't Ainge's fault.
There's a little bit of being able to see how things come together. And you can argue that you don't know until it happens.
617-779-7937. Rob in Maine. You're up next. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Two things. One, a confession, and I think your listeners should know that about 15 years ago, I saw Drellick kick a dog. And
I love that dog dearly.
No one else saw it except me.
Oh, right. Right, exactly.
I thought it needed to get out.
Yeah, I know. Nobody else can corroborate but Rob in Maine. So there we go.
Well, now I'm going to sue you like Lenny Dykstra. I hope you're happy.
Bring it. Yeah, on the Celtics, every Celtics fan has to hope we lose, and we lose early. Because we cannot stand pat with this. We're going in a horrendous direction.
Yeah, I feel, Rob, I'm with you. I feel like this team is just toiling in mediocrity.
Well, what will losing early do? I play this out.
Changes.
Yeah, because the green teamers won't be able to do it anymore.
But what happens to the roster? You think losing early will do something to the roster going forward differently?
Yes, I don't think they'd even try and bring Kyrie back, and I don't want them to.
Yeah, I don't either. By the way, Rob, great phone call. I love every, and he even dropped something on Drellick. See, that Drellick doesn't feel good when somebody is casting aspersions.
The dog's out. Who?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, does it? When someone blames you.
Why did Ron Darling?
Why would Rob in Maine? Why would Rob in Maine make up the fact that you allegedly kicked a dog a decade ago? Why would he make that up?
So do we never talk about anything unless we have like. What's the threshold here? What are we?
No, I'm just saying.
What are we going for?
I'm just saying. You do know Ron Darling.
I love my dogs.
Listen, Ron,
Logan and Maisie were the two dogs I had growing up. Bernie and Morgan were the second pair. Bernie was my dog. Named him after Bernie Williams. I was not a Yankees fan. I named a pet after Bernie Williams. Okay, and the current dog is Teddy. So I love all the dogs that we've
had. Do you have your own? Like, you take care of them right
now? I do. No, not with my busy lifestyle.
Okay.
My modern millennial lifestyle. Are you kidding me?
From what you know about me, like, a single guy and all that stuff. Like,
you would kill a potted plant within 3 days.
No. I'm thinking about buying a Shar Pei puppy.
What? I'm sorry. A Shar Pei?
Puppy.
What is a Shar Pei?
Oh, look, like Google it.
Is that like French?
It's got wrinkles.
Well, you're on the air. Describe it for the.
It's got wrinkles all over. They're the best dogs. Like, they're so cute.
So
let me ask you this:
why a Sharp? What is your attraction to
the
Sharpei?
I love them. So
there's origin story of why you love the Sharpei.
I love Sharpeis. Listen, I love Basset Hounds. I love those dogs that are like sort of lazy and they've just got, you know, they're just cute as hell.
Yeah, enough about Bradford.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this about Ron Darling. You're going to find out. That and I'm not even like it. Just you can't. If nobody can corroborate it, why bring it up? Why throw a guy under the bus who's down?
Because
and
it
out?
Was clearly weighing on him. Maybe he could have done a different venue or forum than a book.
But, all right.
You know, there are things that weigh on people over time.
Well, all right, John Anderson, we have to take a quick timeout right now, John. Okay, we'll take a quick timeout. We got to all your phone calls. The phone lines are working. Finally, only took 2 hours and 20 minutes. 617-779-7937. We are live at Fenway Park, getting you ready for Red Sox Orioles pregame here at the WEEI Ford.
We got a little breaking news when we come back,
studio.
Too.
Really?
Yeah, related to a little flying object over Fenway Park the
other
night.
Ooh, I want to hear that.
Breaking news.
We'll tease that
right
on the other side.
That.
Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to James and Drellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It's a developing story out of Fenway Park tonight. Take a look. An unusual sight over center field. A drone hovering over the field during the late innings. Now, the FAA is investigating to see if the drone was authorized to fly over Fenway, but we also know that a representative for the Red Sox said it was not authorized and that the team has reported it to Boston police.
All right, so that was the scene the other night. Drellick, you have perhaps some breaking news on this situation.
This is a release from the Boston Police Department.
Breaking news. This is breaking news on Sports Radio WEEI.
They've got the drone as a result of a joint investigation involving BPD, Massachusetts State Police, Suffolk County DA, the FAA. I mean, how many authorities do you need on this one? They've recovered and are in possession of that drone that was flying over Fenway Park on Thursday. The operator of the drone has been identified as a juvenile. A juvenile. So it's a kid. I mean, wouldn't it have to be a kid to do something that's stupid?
Ladies and gentlemen, come on. We got him.
It says Boston police will continue.
That's a good sounder, John.
The investigation remains active and ongoing at this time. So
right.
We don't know if there will be charges or what's going to happen from here. But they got the drone, and they have a operator of the drone has been identified as a juvenile. But they didn't say whether
I wonder if it has anything to do with the kid that allegedly uttered a racial slur at Boogie Cousins, because that was a kid too. So
you
I wonder
think
if
this
they're
is
connected.
All some big conspiracy or something like that. That's good. That's what we want to drive here. It's just really big conspiracies. This is an interesting tweet from Rich Dubroff, who's been covering the Orioles for years. And he says Theo Epstein was a surprise pregame visitor to Brandon Hyde. This is mean, but I'm going to do it. Mark James, do you know who Brandon Hyde is?
No.
Yeah, nobody does. He's the manager of the Orioles.
Oh, my God.
Nobody has any idea who the manager of the Orioles is.
No, I really don't. I got to be honest with you.
But the interesting part there being that Theo Epstein, I guess, is at Fenway Park today. Was in Boston.
You know,
he's still got roots and family here.
Right, he's from Brookline, right?
Yeah, and Brandon Hyde, this unknown Orioles manager, worked with Theo in Chicago. So there's a connection there. But the great Theo Epstein in the building at Fenway Park.
Oh, well, maybe.
We can feel his presence and the force.
No.
Disturbance. But they got the kid with the drone.
617-779-7937. I just want to give you a little number here because, you know, when I call, if you guys missed it, we had a new nickname. John Anderson played the sounder for it. Last year was the blow pen because, quite frankly, they blow.
You are so self-satisfied. It's really remarkable.
And then today, I came up with a new nickname for the Red Sox starting rotation. I call them the Blowtation. So, and just so you know, out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball, the Red Sox are dead last among starting pitchers for ERA, 8.17. They are the Blowtation. Let's go to
playing the hits, Mark.
Dave in Medford. Go ahead, Dave.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Dave.
I just wanted to ask Evan if he's actually serious about calling out
About Danny Ainge and Brad Seat. My only point being that Celtics fans had no criticism of him, I think, until recently, of both of them.
But why? How could you criticize Ainge is what he's saying?
Well, they hadn't.
I mean, if you look at what Ainge has done, he bypassed Lonzo Ball and traded down to get Jason Tatum over Markelle Fultz, which is brilliant. He got rid of Isaiah Thomas, who is falling apart for Kyrie Irving, who is a stud. I mean, and then Danny has manufactured another championship team. I think Danny Ainge has done a spectacular
job. It was an unbelievable job. That's because, you know what, Jarelic's a moron, Dave.
Now here's my question for Dave. Dave's still there. Is he still with us?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Now, if the Celtics don't advance far and it's clear that there's something wrong, do you criticize Ainge?
I mean, that's tough because...
No, it's not tough. That's my point.
Dave, if the Celtics fall short of the Eastern Conference Finals, to me, it's on Brad Stevens.
Why is it...
Yeah. It's Brad Stevens.
All right,
and the players. It's on Brad Stevens.
And the player. There you go. Dave.
But it's also on the guy to know... The guy who... The chef who brings the ingredients together for this fine recipe of green and white.
All right.
I mean, come on. Why is it so hard?
Let's go to Ed on a cape. Ed on a cape.
Yeah, hey. I want to talk about the Sox, but you know what? This Ron Darling stuff and the Jones stuff, it should be at least one other person heard it. You can't scream the N-word in a crowded room or a stadium and no one remembers it. Even 30 years ago, people would remember that. So anyway, getting back to J-Rock and his bloatation. First of all, last year, the one or two times you got on when like four other guys couldn't make it, you kept talking about the bullpen. And people kept saying, look at their stats. Their stats are very strong. And you said, oh, it's the eye test. And you wanted to trade 21-year-old Rafi Devers to pick someone up to help the pen.
I never wanted to trade Devers.
You did.
Ever.
So,
no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
And I love Devers. I never wanted to trade Devers,
you
ever.
Did. But anyway, last year, stats didn't matter. It was your eye test. Now, this year, after 14 games with 148 left, you're ready to say that the rotation is horrible. I mean,
preach.
I'm not a huge
preach
fan, but he's like 15 times more intelligent than you are when it comes to baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, Ed, they have an 8.71 ERA, Ed.
14 games in. I'm not going to argue their ERA. Their ERA stinks. They stink. I've been to six of the games. I went to the Seattle game and two home games. They're freaking horrible.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's all. All I can judge is what we've seen so far.
Turn around in 148 games to go.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely could. But clearly, why is everybody sucked so far?
Because it's 14 games in. Who knows? Maybe it's just, maybe it's what Cora did in spring training. Maybe it's an anomaly. Who knows? But a data sample of 8% on a season, you think at the end of the year, the Sox...
Oh, no, they will. Ed, they better turn it around. Ed, they spent... I mean, you look at the money that they spent on Bogarts and Sale combined. That's ridiculous. You gave Sale $145 million. I don't know if the guy's going to make it to June.
First of all, why is Bogarts money? That's even stupider. Bogarts is a phenomenal shortstop, and it was a steal.
No. But by the way, Bogarts was a good contract. Sale was a bad contract.
I don't even need to be here.
It's a bad contract, Ed.
This is great. Ed's on the money.
Are you telling me after two starts that you're ready to say
three?
His 5-year deal. All right, three starts. His 5-year deal.
I didn't like it before. Ed, these starts have nothing to do with it. You didn't need to give a guy who breaks down at the end of every year.
Everything to do with it.
Ed,
ooh, maybe it wasn't a good contract.
No, Ed, his ERA goes up every year from July to August to September, October. Look at Ed. He pitched 41 and a third innings since last July. The guy's frail.
Okay, so that's Chris Sale. How come last year in the bullpen stats didn't matter, but now all you can talk about their starting rotation is stats? How come stats work?
Well, by the way, you don't. By the way, hey Ed, it's not just the stats; it's the stats and the eye test for the starting rotation. Like that'll tell you both. That it's both of them, not just the stats. That they're dead last amongst every team in baseball. So there's that.
This is a little developing situation right here at the ballpark here. Alex Cora normally speaks to the media, at a set time before a game, and you typically on a day like this it's 11. They put out the time, where everybody. So they go up to this media room at Fenway Park, the interview room you see on Mark with the C. James's Fine Channel Nesson. You know, you gather a couple minutes beforehand, and then Cora comes in and speaks. Cora was supposed to speak today at 11 o'clock. It's now 11:47.
He hasn't spoken.
And he has not spoken. So either that's just because, Theo Epstein's in the building. Maybe Theo and Cora just catch on. I have no idea. Or something is going on and they are preparing to address something bigger, if we want to get a little speculation. It is weird to push it back 45 minutes.
Oh, by the way, speaking of being pushed back, sales start was pushed back to Monday.
Well, you're opening up the entire speculative can.
So Chris Frail's being pulled back.
We have no idea. This could just be a matter of process and routine, and nothing comes out of it. But it is interesting that the Cora's pregame session here has been delayed almost 50 minutes at this point.
Matt in my hometown of Springfield. What's up, Matt?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So, hey, you wonder why Brad Stevens gets a pass. I mean, look at the seasons that compared to John Farrell, look at Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has only gone up. I think his first year we were...
But we're beyond that now, right?
Yeah, you can't keep hitting... He's hit that glass ceiling, Matt. Yeah.
No, I get it. But, you look at... We went out in the first round of the playoffs for the Celtics 2 years in a row. And then the past 2 years, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yes, of course, this year matters huge for Brad Stevens, but let's not bash him until we actually find out what this team is going to do this playoff.
We're looking forward.
Matt, my thing is this. They better make the Eastern Conference Finals. If they don't, it's a coaching fail.
So here's where I start to get unhappy.
You agree. That's all I'm saying. Like, this team, I'm not all that, and listen, man, we're up against it. I'm not this sold on Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee is one of these regular season wonders that's already peaked. So I think I not only hope the Celtics are going to beat them, I expect them to beat Milwaukee. I don't expect them to beat Toronto. I really don't. All right, we got to take another quick timeout. And we'll come back.
I have a frustration to share when we come back.
Okay. Well, we'll add it to the list.
It's Celtics related.
Oh, all right. Add it to the list. One more segment. We're coming back to you live from Fenway Park, WEI4 Clubhouse Studio before Red Sox pregame here on WEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to James Andrelic on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Oh, maybe my favorite Oasis song. Supersonic.
Top five.
Oh, no doubt. Just put them on the map, man. So I met a bunch of people last weekend when I went to WrestleMania. and a bunch of people from the UK. And they, what I love about it is that Oasis, who's viewed by Americans like the, no offense, but the ugly Americans, that we, some people have this hatred towards Oasis. Everybody in the UK loves Oasis.
Yeah, it's what's the American equivalent in recent times for that? I don't know if we have one.
I don't think we have one.
Third Eye Blind?
I like Third Eye Blind.
But Oasis is more acclaimed than Third Eye Blind.
No, Oasis is a great... I mean, Third Eye Blind was just... They had a few years. Oasis is like a... I mean, their music is timeless. It's unbelievable. I met a bunch of people from the UK. People come...
Who knew that Mark with a C. James could have such an appreciation of fine art?
Oh, I do. And so I said, I was talking to these people, and like they're coming to New York City for WrestleMania from the UK. That tells you they're coming up... I'm like, where are you from? Like... I'm from England. I'm like, oh, I'm from New England, and I love Oasis. And one of the guys said to me, he goes, oh, well, you should visit Manchester then, because that's where they're from.
You just wanted to do a British accent on the air. That's all this. That's all this was. By the way, the Alex Cora press conference, I'm told, has begun.
Oh, thankfully, we can all. Well, man.
There's no explanation given as to the delay, so. I guess we're just gonna have to speculate for what would have occupied the manager for 50 minutes. You know, they'll give us some news in the next few days, and we'll go, oh, that makes sense. Now we understand what they were keeping from
us.
Or maybe it's just Theo Epstein's hanging out, and everybody wants
to. I'm sure Theo is going to go, hop across tonight to House of Blues, hook up with Peter Gammons, get the guitars going, and Bradfo show is going to be in the front row like some groupie. That's what's going to happen.
Play Wonderwall.
Yeah.
The point I want to make about the Celtics real quick, because I think it fits in, is... If they, let's say they go to the finals, are we going to give Danny Ainge credit?
I'm going to give Brad Stevens all the credit.
You're not going to give, if you're willing to give the credit, you've also got to be willing to take away the credit. And I get annoyed
with
that. But here's
the thing, Drellick, this team last year got to game 7 of the Eastern Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. They can't get, and you have to at least get to as far as you got last year with your two best players. Okay, you don't have Marcus Smart. It's a loss. But you can't, your entire postseason success can't hinge on Marcus freaking Smart. I know he's a dynamic defender. I know he's the heart and soul of the team.
He means so much to so many, Mark.
Yeah.
Don't you get it?
I know he does, but the guy can't hit water sometimes if he fell out of a freaking boat. All right, so we established today on this show, groundbreaking, the bloatation. Ugh. And a certain guy, Ed in the Cape, couldn't take that. He just, Ed... 8.71 ERA for the starters this year, man. It's only 14 games. Well, two quality starts out of 14, Ed.
The right and proper assessment of the Red Sox pitching situation is that the rotation will be fine as long as there isn't some sort of breaking news about any health situations. But you did sacrifice some of your April games for the betterment of later in the year. They will be fine. That doesn't mean... They did the absolute perfect, smartest, right thing by having so few spring training innings. That's called nuance, Mark. That's what we do here.
Okay.
That's why you and I are a good parent.
Yeah, we are. By the way...
You have the two master's degrees.
Yeah, but wait, you going to have some fun this weekend or what?
I hope so.
All right.
I don't... fun at Fenway Park.
The girlfriend's in town. There you go.
Why not?
There you go. All right, cool. Enjoy.
What do you got going on?
I'm working tonight. I got to work tonight, off tomorrow, so I'll enjoy the Celtics game tomorrow. We'll see what happens. We'll see. John Anderson, I think we should thank you. I don't know for what, but I guess we got to thank you.
Thank the engineers. I had nothing to do with getting the phones working.
Yeah. Well, MGMT?
That's hysterical.
Yeah,
no, this is Foster the people.
I'm sorry. All right.
We appreciate everybody who called, everybody listened, even though we couldn't get to your phone calls to 2 hours and 23 minutes in the show. But regardless, we appreciate you listening anyway. Stay tuned next. Red Sox pregame coming up. And then Sean McDonough and Joe Castiglione will have the call. Rick Porcello on the mound against Andrew Cashner. Whatever.
Very good. Very
Andrew
close.
Cashner. I've never heard of him.
He's been around for a little while.
By the way, no, I have heard of him. I'm just joking. Who's the Orioles manager again?
Brandon Hyde.
Never heard of him. Wouldn't know who he was if he walked up to me with an AK-47 and said, I'm Brandon Hyde. Stay tuned next Sox pregame.
I wish he would.
Tap. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.